this is chillin'. What more can I say? Top villain.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Top Villain, the number one podcast for the movement, the culture, and the discussion. This is what we're doing out here, man. We're really trying to bring you the most incredible interviews with some of the most prolific, different, eclectic, inspirational people. Today, I have two of my close family members. I feel like I can honestly say this, from one of the most famous families in the entire world in entertainment, the Jackson family. Today, I'm welcoming you, Prince Jackson and Taj Jackson, to the building. Can we make some noise up here? This is actually an exciting moment for me because this is 3D. Coming up, you was a baby back then. You ain't no Uncle Bill. I was on MTV at the time. You was a little shorty, you know what I'm saying? And I had the opportunity. I'm one of very few people to interview your father. And in a great interview, too. Michael Jackson, by the way, just in case you don't know, has the most record album sales known to man, still selling records to this day, a legend, king of pop. We go back to 96, I say, maybe it's 96, when the History album came out. Michael Jackson was the first artist to debut his video simultaneously on every network. It's never been done before. And I was the guy who introduced it to the world.
Oh, yeah.
My little skinny ass was like, ha! I'm in Times Square! My heart was beating.
I was nervous?
Bro, you got to understand, man. I have been a fan of your family my entire life. You know, I always felt like, you know, their family was kind of like my family. I was like, oh, man, they look like some cool people. You know what I'm saying? I had never been to Gary, Indiana. I grew up in Jersey. So I never knew I would ever be in entertainment. You know what I mean? So once I became a comedian and then I started being a host, I got a chance to interview Janet. I got to interview the 3T. Like, so, I mean, I've known your whole family.
Wow.
So you got a lot of talent now. Yeah. Okay, it's a lot of talent. So I'm going to let you talk. So give me all night I was thinking, what is it like to grow up as a Jackson? Like, is it just barbecues? Is it like y'all having fun every day? Or is it just so many cousins you can't keep up? What is it like growing up?
It's a little bit of everything that you just said. We're always meeting new cousins on like a daily basis almost. And we're like, how are we related? And then they explain, like, oh, yep, we're cousins.
Right.
Barbecues, you know, lots of family times over at Havenhurst.
Yeah.
But also a lot of responsibility.
Absolutely. You know?
It's a legacy and a brand that everybody has worked hard to get it to where it is. And we certainly don't want to be the generation that falls short.
And let it drop.
We want to continue that and to make it bigger and to keep it in the kind of the history books, if you will.
No, it is. It's a very historic story. When you think about the Jackson family and what Joe was able to accomplish with his kids and encourage everybody to be great. You know, the Jackson 5, I mean, just came out of nowhere, but the story is so rich, where it's just a family, small family, no, big family, small house, and they grind, and they made it, made a dream come true, and you guys are the fruit of the dream, which is beautiful. Like it's like a, I always say to people, they don't understand that Joe Jackson should be like father of the century, because you got to understand what it's like to have one talented kid. Like, just maybe you get lucky. You know, maybe one of your cousins might be smarter. Well, you know what I mean? But when you have a talented family and it's like in your DNA, that means there's something special going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that growing up?
100%. I think everything that all of us can attest to is the discipline and the work ethic that was instilled in my father, my uncle, his father, and all of our uncles and aunts at a young age.
Yep.
And that has trickled down through their experiences and how that determination and that dedication provided results. And so because they learned from that, they've instilled it in their kids, our generation. And it's A lot of it is talent. I can't take anything away from that. A lot of it would be dedication.
To me, if I was a Jackson, I would feel so much pressure that if I couldn't sing. It's like, you know, when everybody got vocals and you kind of, like, I would be like, nah, I don't want to sing. I'm going to play the cymbals, you know, like, because it is a lot of people who have definitely put it down. Like, even if you, on the girl side of it, say, let's say, you know, if you're Janet's niece, like, your aunts are still talent. Like, you have no way around. Down. Like, everybody over here can get down. Everybody can dance. Everybody can sing. We got musicians in here. We got creatives. You know what I'm saying? You guys did it yourself, the three T's. A lot of people right now don't know about the three T's. Tell them how you guys came up with your own group.
Watching our uncles, basically, and my dad, obviously. Just it was really just seeing them, and it was like, I think, the 79-80 tour, basically. And we saw the audience and screaming, and we're like, we want that.
You want to get some of that.
That's what we want. And TJ was in diapers at that point, like literally. And we were mops and brooms. We were pretending, lip singing to the Jackson Live album.
Absolutely.
And then my dad's like, that's great, but you got to actually sing.
You can't play with this family. We got to sing for real.
So we really worked on the harmonies.
Absolutely.
That was one of the first things we learned instead of the dancing, which is why 3T doesn't dance that well.
Right.
You know, worked on more singing than dancing. And you know, we started when I was like probably 8 years old, and we didn't come out till I was 18. So that was 10 years
of getting it right.
Of working. Yeah. And people don't notice that. They thought, oh, they just opened the door and we just slid through. But really, we worked for like 10 years right after school. My mom, you know, she was the Joe. She was the one that cracked
it.
You get this. Like, we're not going to make it easy on you.
Yeah, well, the thing about what I find with the Jackson family that I really just admire is the spirit of excellence, you know? Everything is taken seriously.
Yeah.
You're not putting it out unless it's right. right. Your dad was meticulous about... every single sound, background, tempo. I mean, Michael, the couple times that I hung out with Michael, it was just amazing how he could hear his ear for everything. Like he was on another level. It was like, do you hear the hummingbirds? And I'm like, huh? You know what I mean? Like, that's a good, we could put the hummingbirds in there. Like, you're like, what? And so when you come from a family and your dad, who's so gifted, like, just think about artists today, right? They can only aspire to be able to leave a mark like that, to be not just a king of pop and of obviously, but the legacy of music from 8 years old, relatively, maybe 7 or 8 till he was an adult, that he was constantly making hit music. That's hard.
Mm-hmm. It's great. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So if you put out a song and you a Jackson, you got to run it by 3,000 uncles.
Right? There's a quality check.
Come on, Tito, don't be hard on me, man. Jackie, please let me pass, baby. So now we are approaching something that's really monumental. The 40-year anniversary of Thriller. Now, I don't know. You was somewhere in space.
Not even a thought yet.
He was a thought. You wasn't thinking about coming here yet. But 40 years ago, honestly, for me, Thriller was such an impactful event. I was in college, and this is when nobody as an artist was doing movies for videos. Yeah. It was not even a thing. Like, nobody had that kind of money in their budgets. It wasn't like... Michael Jackson was literally doing movie videos, and they were so big. Case in point, I was at a step show at Rutgers University, and it premiered, right? Premiered the video. Drop the lights. He's like, what is about to happen? All you heard was like, we was like, man, is it werewolves in here? Because, you know, we wasn't ready for it. It was no prep. They didn't say nothing. And they premiered that video. When I tell you, bro, people screamed, bro. People was like, yo. All you heard was like, oh, my God. And then, boom, boom. We was like, shit. We started doing the dance. Like, yo. It was that kind of an impact, man. And 40 years later, it's still that strong, man. Yeah. Is this how that make you feel?
Very proud. Very proud. You know, my dad, like you said, he put a lot of time and effort, and he was very meticulous about every detail. And the stories that I've heard from the family members and the people that worked with him about the creation of that, his all went into that. And so to see his legacy still at the height, you know, as when it came out is really, really
powerful. It's absolutely unbelievable from the music, from the production of the video, the colors, the characters, the Vincent Price, who people don't even understand who Vincent Price is. He is the legendary voice that is like the spooky narrator. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I was like, man, this brother, I wanted him always to be on my answer machine. You've called for Bill, but he's not here. You know?
That's good. I like it.
I always thought Vincent Price's voice was bananas. And so 40 years ago, this dominant moment happened in music history, and now it's still living. What are we going to do on the 40th anniversary? You guys have something planned, I hear.
Yes, yes. You want to start and talk?
Let's talk about it.
Well, definitely. I mean, one of the things is the biggest crime is that the Thriller song itself never hit number one. You know, that it
no way.
It peaked at four. I mean, this is the Halloween anthem. And it peaked at four, so it's never hit number one. Mm. But that's also because everyone had the album by that time.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it's not like it's
the song. Because here's the thing, we can still get it there, though.
That's the point.
Now, this is what we're going to do. How about this? We're going to make this manifest, right? We're going to give Michael Jackson another number one hit. Yeah. How about this?
Oh, I love that.
So Thriller, the album itself sold over 70 million copies worldwide, right?
100.
Oh, my bad.
Higher.
Get your numbers up. 100 million. My bad. But you know, I want to short you on millions, right? So over 100 million worldwide, still selling.
Yep.
Still selling, but we have one goal. We want to make Thriller the number one single of that album. Yep. And it's really possible.
Oh, 100, especially during Halloween time.
Yeah, I mean, because Halloween is such a wonderful, like, still mysterious holiday that people get into it. I don't know about you. I still dress up, bro.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, Prince. You know what I'm saying? You might not be, your Halloween game might not be mine there. My kids was like, Daddy, you doing too much. You're not Jimi Hendrix. Like, I literally would just go all out and try to be another character, talk like him, be like that person for the night, right? And it started with my kids. You know, when they were little, we'd go Halloween trick-or-treating, and me and my wife would be, like, getting dressed up as Batman and Batgirl and just for the kids. But now they kind of like, yo, man, go ahead. Go to your own adult party, man. You're looking crazy following me, man. Let me walk ahead of you. That happened like 4 years ago. They started like at 14. They was like, Daddy, you too much. Then I felt weird. So now I got to kind of go to just adult more stuff. My kids done got too big for me. So are you guys, I hear that you are going to do something at the estate. Yep. And it's going to be really, really crazy. It's going to be super duper dope. And you're donating all the proceeds to your charities. Let's talk about your charities.
You want to start?
Sure. So this is actually an event that we've hosted unofficially for 10 years. Okay. It started as a family party where mm-hmm. we just built like a single room up there. We mm-hmm. turned it into like a haunted maze, and we had our cousins and family walk through.
Cool.
Then the next year we opened it up to like our friends at mm-hmm. school. And then by the third year it got so big, we realized, well, we could do something with this. And
absolutely.
We really care more about, especially once you start putting a lot of money into things, mm-hmm. and giving back to the community. And if mm-hmm. we're just spending all this money on a Halloween party, it didn't feel right. It didn't feel like it was within our values.
Okay.
So in 2016, I believe, or in 2015, they started becoming a nonprofit. In 2016, you guys were incorporated.
Yeah.
I went to Loyola Marymount University in 2016, and I was a student, and we started a student service organization there mm-hmm. called the Heal Los Angeles Student Service Org.
Okay.
So in 2016, we partnered together. We were able to use their 501c3 and LMU's 501c3 tax-exempt status to host the first, what is now, Thriller Nights.
Yeah, Thriller Nights.
And this is our seventh year officially hosting.
How do you get on the list for Thriller Nights? Because that just sounds exclusive, right? No, you ain't go to Thriller Nights. I want to go to Thriller. How do you get on the list?
So the way it works is, in the past, we've had a mm-hmm. Google form mm-hmm. where we try, and anybody that was interested in attending, they submit their information, and then we reach out to them once kind of spots or tickets become available.
Okay.
There is a finite amount of space on the property.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So you can't, really everybody hard. Can't come.
Exactly. And then mm-hmm. the other side of it, too, is we always try to bring back people who were part of history. So at the property itself, Taj knows a lot more about this than I do, but a lot of music history happened in that.
What? Room,
you know? So my father, he wrote and recorded a lot of songs from Off the Wall and Thriller in his bedroom, in the studio, working together with the uncles. I believe Uncle Tito was actually the guitar before
David Williams.
No, on Beat It.
Eddie Van Halen.
Yes. And then so they recorded all that stuff
at the crib,
at the studio on the property. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of history.
So we try to bring back people who were a part of it. So Sugarfoot Moffat, he's coming this year.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Greg Filling Games. Yep.
Whoa. Yeah. Like bringing back the game.
Yeah. Yes.
That's pretty cool, man. Yeah. I mean, your dad, by the way, full throttle musician.
Yeah.
Like it's not a game. Like for real. Like if you didn't know he was a Jackson, he'd just be like the dopest musician. You know what I mean? So do you play instruments as well?
Out of all the three T's you asked me, right? The one that doesn't play.
You don't play. Okay.
I play keyboards.
You play keys.
Yeah, okay. I've played keys all my life, but in terms of guitar, like my dad, no, that's taking care of.
Nasty.
Yeah,
what?
You know, I always say he was the one that disobeyed Joe, because when Joe would go to work, my dad would sneak into his closet, grab the guitar, which he was forbidden to do,
right,
and play it until my dad broke a string and he didn't know how to fix it. And so Joe found out because my dad didn't know how to fix it, gave him a whooping.
Just a little bit.
But then he said, show me what you can do.
Right.
And my dad played his heart out, and that's when the light bulb went off. Like, I got something here.
Bro, can I tell you the dopest story? All right, so this is because everyone says Bill Bellamy has the most amazing Hollywood stories. This is for your dad. That great story. So I'm assuming now your dad, aka Michael Jackson, was probably 8-9 years old. Stevie Wonder was in the studio. Smokey Robinson was in the studio, and this is at Motown where everyone's in studio A, B, C, and everyone's doing songs. So, like, Smokey Robinson was a writer for a lot of the songs, right? And so they're coming around with, like, okay, well, maybe the Temps can do this one. Maybe the people, we'll say this one's to Smokey. We'll do this, right? Cool. So, this is so crazy. I'm getting goosebumps. So, real quick, so the Jacksons are in studio C, say whatever, and they got this song called Who's Loving You? Cool. It was supposed to be for Stevie Wonder initially. Yeah. Cool. Well, Stevie can write, you know, Stevie can sing this. He got the whatever. And I forgot who it was that suggested let Michael get a chance at it. Oh. Then Smokey goes, I don't know if Michael Jackson could sing this. He's a child. You know, this song's about heartbreak. You know, it's a lot of soul, it's hurt. And this is what the song is about. The lady says, just let Michael try. 8-year-old Michael comes in the studio, looks at it, reads it a couple times, hits it. One take, everyone's running out of the studios. Oh my God! Oh my God! How is it possible that a kid who's 8 years old can sing a song like a grown ass man? And that's how that song happened. That's the legend of that song. Is that crazy?
I never heard that. That's amazing.
Smokey Robinson told me that story, and I was like, well, he said Michael was from another planet. He was like to watch him sing the song as a child was incredible. Because we didn't have really could tell him every note the way he was going to sing it. He sang the song the way he felt it at 8 years old. I didn't even know what heartbreak was. Did you?
No.
Not at eight. I mean, 14 or 15. So I wanted to share that with you. So you also have another foundation, which is called the D.D. Jackson Foundation. Yes. And we're not leaving all our foundations. Talk about D.D.
Well, D.D. Jackson Foundation started when me and my brothers, we wanted to do something to honor our mom, our late mom. Our mom was murdered in 94, basically right before 3T started, or I guess released. And that was the hardest thing for us because she was our main cheerleader. She was the one that really was our manager, telling us, you know, cracking the whip, as I told you before, but also just inspiring us. And to lose that inspiration, it was really, really hard on us. And so D.D. Jackson Foundation, we specialize in loss and grief because that was the hardest thing for us.
Absolutely.
Was losing that kind of like that star, that North Star to follow. And so we pride ourselves in that way. And so we wanted to do something to honor our mom. And so D.D. Jackson Foundation, we do music therapy classes. We host families throughout the year and stuff like that.
Absolutely, man. I mean, hey, being in the entertainment game is definitely has a lot of amazing parts to it. But then also, too, we have the lows and we do have the losses, as we all know here. Most recently, I lost my dad. And, you know, and it's just like, I never knew when you became an entertainer that I thought every day was Saturday when she became a star. Like, you don't realize that there are tough times that the world doesn't see, you know, and you still have to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You still had to process as a young child how to get on your feet and roll and become your own guy. I mean, like, I watched you grow up, bro. Like, I feel like I'm your uncle too. You know what I mean? Because I remember a couple times I saw you when you were young and you ain't know who I was. He's like, who's that? Who the hell is that black man talking to me? Crazy. Get him away from you, or whatever. But so, but I would do a lot of things for charity with your father. And, you know, he asked me to come down. I would host and do this, that, and the other. So I really came really, really cool with the family. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I had a really great relationship and still do with Janet, where I got on Velvet Rope. I went on tour. Yep. She took me on my first big tour.
Wow.
Bro, opening up for her as a comedian was bonkers. It's gonna be in my book, but I had never been to Worcester. Worcester. Am I saying it right? Anybody from Boston? Worcester. It's out right outside of Boston, and it was sold out arena, and I was the comedian because one of the groups fell out. Uh-huh. And your aunt, you know, reached out to me. She was like, hey, Bill, hey, we want to do some comedy. I was like, hell yeah. She said, we got about 25 days. What? And I went out on tour with her. It was absolutely amazing. It's a lot of that kind of clips on YouTube from different cities that we were doing. And I had a birthday party on a tour with them and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was definitely, like I say, my connection to the family is very sincere. And I love you guys. And I just want to know, how are you able to navigate? Because such a social media is such a piece of our lives now. You've been able to keep your privacy, which is wonderful. Is that intentional?
For myself?
Yeah.
To a certain degree, yeah.
Yeah.
My brother's really good at it. He has no social media, so you can't find him at all.
Zero.
Yeah.
But he's great at it.
You do have to be intentional, I guess, in separating. Like, for me, Instagram is a way to connect with people.
Correct.
But my phone, like text message, phone calls, face to face. Like I play video games with him on a nightly basis. Right. So that's a more personal or intimate way to connect, you know?
Yeah.
So it's how to control what you put out there and what you keep for yourself.
Yeah, because like I feel what you guys have done in a really amazing way is to be able to protect your privacy and let people get what you want them to have. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel a lot of times in celebrity, we give them everything and then it goes left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or you just don't know where the sweet spot is, you know, because I feel like with this family and the legacy of the family, you have more at stakes. You can't really make a misstep. Mm-hmm. You don't want to anyway.
Yeah,
we all human, let's be honest. But like, you know, you don't want to be in no BS or have something crazy going. You know, you're just like, all right, cool. We're going to do this for my father. We're going to do this for grief therapy. We're going to do things that are very, very purposeful.
Yes,
exactly.
Do you see any music in your life? Do you want to do something, Prince?
No, actually, I tell the story to people. When I was like six,
you thought
my dad tried to teach me rhythm, and this was his reaction.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
So I was like, okay, I guess it's not for me. And I've had people tell me you should never sing, so.
All right, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much pressure. I got a funny question to ask y'all. I've always wanted to know this. Can somebody tell me the meaning of Mama Say, Mama Say, Mama Nakusa?
You know, I used to know that, actually.
Like, what?
I know it actually.
Did you ever want to know what Mama Say, Mama Say, Mama Kusa, Mama Say? Nobody. I say it, but I don't know.
I should know what it is.
I know it's like an African dialect or something. Yeah.
Right, right. That's it.
That's all we know. Yeah.
Damn.
Close enough, you know?
I've been wanting to know that my whole life, man. Here's the question. I got one for you. Thriller Nights at the Estate. Is it going to be ghouls and goblins and people dressed like Halloween? are we gonna have the real, like, all throttle Thriller kind of characters?
Yes. Yeah. It's Thriller's 40th, so we really wanted to kind of bring people back in that nostalgic vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Play all the hits of that time. Mm-hmm. We brought a full acting crew. They're all dressed up as zombies.
We've got
Werecat Michael. I think we have Zombie Michael.
Yeah. No way.
They're all roaming around the property. You'll be able to take photos with them. We have a full maze.
Are you making me mad?
It is.
So basically now, ladies and gentlemen, drum roll. Basically what they're doing is giving you an opportunity to be inside a thriller.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I probably have a heart attack because I remember, man, I mean, it took me a couple of times. I remember my brother, we used to cry every time he came on. He was scared for real because it was the first time we ever seen Michael turning into something else. You know, black people wasn't used for that. Yeah. You know, we usually, where Michael at? Hey, go get Michael back. We thought Michael really was a werewolf. You know, we wasn't used to special effects and stuff. That was the new era of special effects. Yeah. You know, but what I remember now that I'm thinking about that, there were so many layers to that video. It was the way it was shot.
Yep.
It was the choreographers. Now, who choreographed the dance for that? Do you remember? I don't know. I forgot.
Gosh. It's sad because we should know.
Let's look it up. We'll look it up because I want to know that. So Michael Peters was one of the I think Michael Peters was the main choreographer of Thriller, correct?
Yeah.
And it is probably one of the most duplicated choreographed dances ever. I've seen oh man, they just took a little bit of Thriller. That's the Thriller shoulder. You know, like there's certain things about Thriller that if you watch it as a million times as I have, you will notice how many people admired and hybrid it into something else. Mm-hmm. Case in point, I have a question for you. This is a part of my show where I say all facts. I'll give you something, and then you're going to say, you can't tell. You got to tell the truth. Ready? Cool. All right. And I know Prince. I know Todd. Y'all would tell the truth, so it don't matter. So all facts. If your dad was alive today and he had to pick three guys that he feels embodies his talent on stage, which three artists would they be?
Wow.
Go ahead.
Wow.
I got three in my head.
I feel like I would say Chris Brown because I know that my dad knew him personally and then always around the house. Admired his technique in dance and like his style with it. So I definitely would put him on there. Do you want to take a second one while I think of a third one?
Yeah, it's that Chris Brown Usher vibe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, two. Okay, cool. Come on now. I got one more for you.
Dang. You got one more for us?
And it could be old school or new school.
Oh, it could be old school.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm just throwing it out. You got two of mine already.
Well, and this is purely dancing. We're not talking about like musical.
I'm just saying like just entertainer, you know, because Chris Brown is the perfect example of embodying dancing and singing. Mm-hmm. And some guys just sing better than they dance. But Usher and Chris Brown do both so well that it's like
interchangeable.
I just need you one more. Don't try to get out of it. You tried to throw me off. I got one for you on deck. It's going to throw you off. But I got one.
This person has to be alive right now.
It could be old school or new school, but I got one that I think is pretty cool. And I know Michael Jackson birthed him. You ready?
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake.
That one? Yeah.
I'm just saying,
I
just know that he's been getting a lot of heat lately online for dancing. He had some dance moves that people wasn't messing with.
They teared his ass up.
Yeah.
What did JT do wrong, man?
He did something like
he tried to do a
funky
TikTok
leg shit or something like
JT, I'm out here reading. I'm reaching for you, JT. You got to come on top, Billy, man, to get the leg right. What did he do? I don't know. Because, you know, now you can make one bundle on a
and
TikTok.
That's it.
And your life is over. Forget all the 100 million records you sold. Because I'm like, the other day, I saw Britney Spears doing something on, and I was like, what is going on? Like, I didn't know, did she just do anything on her song? I was like, okay, that's Britney. Yeah. Okay. This is what we're doing now. Okay, cool. Still sold a kabillion records.
Yeah.
So, okay, whatever. Yeah. All right, so Thriller's Nights, it will be the 40th anniversary of Thriller. How do people get in contact with you if they want to donate? How can we do that?
So they could go to our Instagrams and on both of our Instagrams have our websites in the bio. So that's the best way to do it. We do have fundraisers sometimes on Instagram Live.
Do you?
A bunch of ambassadors.
I got to follow you guys. I definitely want to stay up on everything.
Definitely. You'll see a lot of great content from this year's Thriller 40.
Oh, yeah.
Dog, please, please just give us a sneak peek. I will be working when you guys do this, I will be working, unfortunately. I think I will be in Atlanta. But I would, how would I be able to see like some of the content, like little snippets? Are you going to leak a little bit of it?
Oh, yeah. So we actually have a really great recap video.
Okay. Yep.
On our website, if you go to HealLAFDN.com and you go to our events page, you can see it's basically like a 5-minute recap video of Chris Tucker's performances, a walk through the maze, the whole party. It's really awesome.
Chris Tucker, he used to make me so mad back in the day because he was always with Mike. He was like, man, I'm going out to hang with Mike, man. I ain't playing no ball with y'all. I'm like, you hanging out with Mike like this? Man, me and Mike are gone. He got on the bird yesterday. And this is like literally when I first moved to LA, you know what I'm saying? I moved out here and Chris is my neighbor. So like he would always give me these like funny ass, because he's so funny, bro.
He's
like
so funny.
When you around Chris Tucker, just get ready to laugh. He could make you laugh about anything, but he would just say all these funny things that he was doing and traveling and this stuff. And I was like, oh man, that sounds so much fun. And it's just like with you guys, you know, obviously, you know, you still, it's a human quality, but there's so much curiosity about growing up in a famous family, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Very few people have families that are that famous, that are that talented, and you're in the midst of it and, you know, navigating through your uncles and aunties and concerts. Which one do you go to this year? You know what I mean? And you were traveling the world so young.
Yeah.
Do you remember a lot of the great places you guys traveled?
Oh, yeah.
What was your favorite place you went with your dad as a kid?
Well, actually, as I got older, I realized that when you're traveling with Michael Jackson, that's not how normal people travel.
At all.
So I got to see a lot of really awesome parts of the world, but I got to see it as Michael Jackson would see it.
Right.
If I went back there again, it would not be the same.
Right. Can I tell you a funny story?
Go for it.
All right, so check it out. You know I'm a baller too. Okay, cool. So I've stayed in a couple of suites that they said, you know, your dad stayed in, right? And they were bananas, right? And I just had the suite though. They said, he lock off the whole floor. I was like, I ain't got that kind of money. I ain't got that kind of pay for 14 days. Oh, shit. I thought I was balling because I had the sweet Michael Jackson hat. They was like, nah, Playboy, get your weight up. You got to lock off the whole flow, this flow and the flow below. Don't nobody come up here. I was like, shit. I'm broke than a motherfucker. But it's a true story. I was like, yo. Because when, real quick, I know, I'm just having a good time because I'm thinking of so many funny things at one time. This is what happens when you're a comedian. I remember when I interviewed Michael Jackson, the security that came in there, like, I was just like, okay, because I thought I had did something. Because they came in so strong. I was like, who coming in here? They was like, it was like, they was locking off. I was like, yo, what's up? And then all of a sudden, he was like, hey. I was like, oh, did he come out the floor? Yo, I'd never been about, in my life, I'd never been around anybody that famous to that level.
Yeah.
To that, like, he couldn't go anywhere normal. The only other person that I hung out with was my cousin, but he not that famous. But Shaquille, let me tell you something. I'm gonna tell you something, Shaquille's famous now. And he can't hide. He's big than a motherfucker. I never forget, I said, me and Shaquille went to a Disney World, right? Just got drafted to the Orlando Magic. He's the biggest thing in Orlando history, you know, outside of Mickey Mouse. It was very dramatic. I'm just, the amount of people that was hanging on to Shaquille, the amount of people that wanted pictures with him, and he was trying to accommodate everybody. I was like, this is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. They not giving us, we can't drink a soda. We can't eat a hot dog. People were coming from everywhere. It was like they were coming in groves to say hi to him. I said, man, you are famous, famous. He was like, I know. This is crazy. So, you know, I'm relating to you being a kid. Like you said, y'all had to travel a certain way. It was different.
Mm-hmm, I'm still trying to come to terms with it in a way, you know, because I kind of live a normal life.
Right.
Like, for example, I was coming back on a flight. I had a vacation and I ate something that made me really sick. So the whole flight back, I'm throwing up on the plane, bag and everything.
Right.
Had a girl in front of me ask me while I'm throwing up, excuse me, what's your name? And I'm like, Mike, because my real name is Michael. So I just go by Mike. So nobody knows. Right. And She said, "You look a lot like Michael Jackson's son." And I was like, "Oh, I get that a lot." Right. And she's like, "I was going to say, what are you doing flying an economy?"
Right.
So I just is, like, we're balancing that.
Because you know? I want to.
Yeah, yeah. The first class was expensive.
Exactly.
I'm not booking the top floor out. Right, right, right. You know what I'm saying?
Like, the whole floor. But this is what I wanted people to get from you guys. That you guys are normal, good folks. You know, you come from a very, very amazing family, but you live your life in a good way and you have a purposeful life. That's beautiful, man. And you know what I'm saying? I like to see that in young talent people. Y'all the next generation coming up in the game. And I wanted you to come on here and show what you're doing. Let people know what your purpose is and your charities and you're living a good life and you care about people. People don't hear that stuff. They always want to go about the negative stuff all the time. Oh, like you sincerely care. Yeah. And you gonna play an instrument, okay? I'm gonna throw something at you. You got the keys. I'm gonna put you on the guitar. So, but I want to thank you guys for definitely coming by. And Ken, how do we tell the viewers how they can, you know, keep in touch with you? Give us your socials if you want.
Mine is my name, Prince Jackson, on Instagram. I have a Twitter, but I've like lost my password so many times.
You don't even tweet no more. You stop tweeting. You're too big to tweet.
Exactly. You're too big, so just find me on Instagram.
Right.
Heal Los Angeles Foundation. Mm-hmm. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And I think that's all my socials. Yeah.
And come on, Tosh, what are we talking about, bro? Come on.
For the foundation, it's ddjf.org. So ddjacksonfoundation.org. My socials, I think it's TajJackson3 for the Twitter and then TajJackson for the Instagram.
Okay. Can I do one more all facts? This is a funny one. You might be. This is another one. All facts here on top billing of all your aunties. Who is the best singer?
Ooh.
Yeah. What pressure on you?
I mean,
what style? That's the thing.
Oh, we got styles?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, what were we talking about? Oh, like, you got options?
Reeby sings great, bluesy.
Reeby on the blues.
She's got a bluesy jazz.
So she the best blues. Thing. Okay, next.
I mean, Janet basically pop, R&B.
Bam, you
know,
okay.
In that way. And one of my favorite songs is, you know, back in the day, the Heart Don't Lie song that my Aunt LaToya sings, so... She's a hidden gem that I don't think gets enough credit.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. Who could say they got three aunties that can sing? Yeah. I ain't got a goddamn cousin that can sing. How you have three aunties within your family? Like, you know what I mean? And then your brother, your uncles, all of them sing. God, okay. Here we go. Now, let's get to it. And you can't use your dad because you can't use your dad.
Okay.
Of all the uncles outside of your dad.
Okay.
Who's the best musician?
Jermaine.
Is he really?
Wait a minute, actually.
Like, just play the most...
I said it fast.
Okay, go ahead. Take your time. We can edit it.
It literally is a tie between Jermaine and Randy, because Randy plays the most instruments.
How many instruments
does he play? He plays instruments.
Everything.
Like, he's multi-talented in every instrument. But I've never seen a bassist like Jermaine. How hard it is to sing and play bass at the same time. And he was doing that at 14 years old.
That's what I'm
doing. He was doing Motown licks, which Motown's known for, at 14 years
14
old.
14 years
live.
Old. Live.
Singing.
You live. Cannot make a mistake. We on TV. We on Ed Sullivan.
I was going to say, that's that in itself, you know, so.
Wow. You sure you don't want no pressure, do you?
No.
You sure about that? I
had to excuse myself from the conversation.
You got to do roller skating. Don't even try to. That's too much. Stay roller skating, or maybe you do some. You do some deep sea fishing. Yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Taj Jackson and Prince Jackson on Top Villain. Man, it has been a fantastic ride, and we, as a community, the culture, we're going to make Thriller number one for the history books. Let's go.
Milk is chilling. This is chilling. What more can I say? Top billing.
That's it for this episode of Top Billing with Bill Bellamy, executive producers for Breakbeat, Dave Mays, Brett Jeffries, Bill Bellamy, and Barry Katz. Production Tastemakers Media, recorded at Dash Studios in Los Angeles, California. Follow us at IG, Breakbeat Media, and at Bill Bellamy. Comment, like, and subscribe on Breakbeat Media YouTube channel. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever your podcasts are available. And visit us at www.breakbeatmedia.com.